But I want to suggest to you this morning that the first thing we should do when we face a storm is to ask God, Master, what shall I do?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Someone once said, "These are the times that try men's souls." When Thomas Paine penned those words, it was early in the American Revolution, and things were going very badly. Those words highlight the fact that difficult and confusing times that grip men's hearts with fear and uncertainty are tests of character and resolve, whether to pursue the right regardless of the cost or to surrender to the despair in the streets. Today, and especially for the people who know their God, we face just that kind of a challenge. Those challenges that face our nation, the COVID-19 pandemic and all its effects, and now the outrage following the unjust death of George Floyd at the hands of the local authorities, have wrenched our nation to the brink of chaos that tests the faith of even the godly among us. Truly, we are in the eye of the storm. And that is the title of the message we will hear this evening from our pastor, Brian Grant. Here now is Pastor Grant with Eye of the Storm.
Shortly after noon on Wednesday, June the 3rd, a derecho hit the Philadelphia area. Perhaps like me, you've never heard of a derecho until this week. But in case you don't know, a derecho is a severe windstorm with strong, straight-lined winds. And in less than 5 minutes, the derecho had darkened the sky and produced howling winds of up to 90 miles an hour. Well, it produced blowing rain and hail, and in less than 30 minutes, it had killed at least three people were killed in those 30 minutes. Electricity was knocked out to 200,000 or 300,000 people. The telephone lines were down. The internet was down. In fact, some people up to yesterday still had not gotten back their power. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like storms. You know, I grew up in Jamaica, a country that's right center in the hurricane zone. But in the 22 years I lived in Jamaica, no hurricane ever hit Jamaica. Now, some of my friends were very disappointed because they wanted to experience a hurricane. But I can tell you, I was a happy camper because I did not want to find myself in the eye of a storm. But right now, America is in the eye of some raging storms. And this morning I want to speak to you on the topic, in the eye of the storm. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria was waging war against Israel, but his battle plans somehow were being thwarted because God was revealing all the plans the king of Syria was making. All these plans were being revealed to the prophet Elisha. As the scriptures tells us, it's almost as if Elisha was in his bedroom hearing everything he was talking about. It was that detail God was revealing the plans of the king of Syria. And when the king discovered what was happening, he decided it was time to put his knee on Elisha's neck. Oh, that's not in the text, but I hope you understand what I'm saying in the context of what's going on today. He decided it was time for Elisha to be a dead man. And so if you're taking notes, you write this down in your notes. Number one, storms often arise very suddenly. Storms often arise very suddenly. I'm in the book of 2 Kings, and if you don't have your Bible with you right now, hurry and get it so you can have it, because you do want to look at the scriptures. Make sure you have a note paper with you. 2 Kings chapter 6, we're reading from verse number 12 Here's what the word of God says. And one of his servants said, that's one of the king of Israel, of Syria's servants said, my lord, O king, Elisha the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I might send and get him. And it was told him, saying, Elisha is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Storms arise very suddenly. When Elisha's servant went to bed the previous night, all was calm. But when he woke up the next morning, he found himself in the eye of a storm, for the Syrian army had them surrounded. You know, 4 months ago, America was hit with a very sudden storm when the COVID-19 virus entered our shores. And that storm has kept us imprisoned for over 2 months. And we're so excited that this morning, about 30 of us are gathered here as we have what we're calling our soft opening. That storm has kept us imprisoned. Listen, so many people have lost their jobs. Over 110,000 people have been killed by that first storm. But before that storm had passed, on May the 25th, we were hit with another storm when George Floyd was brutally murdered by a Minneapolis policeman. The horror of racism was on full display as the cold-blooded officer kept his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck, although he was calling out, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Who can forget that horrific video? You know, in response to this barbaric act, people of all races joined together, peacefully marching for an end to racism, bigotry, and police brutality, particularly against Black Americans. But within days, the justified protests of the peaceful marchers were hijacked by rioters, looters, and others determined to bring chaos to our streets. In no time, the nation was engulfed in the most violent storm we have seen on American soil for decades. There is no doubt America was found itself in the eye of some horrendous storms. But as I speak this morning, I know I'm speaking to some of you. In addition to these national storms, you're dealing with some personal storms. Perhaps for some of you, things were working out so good. You got a promotion, they increased your salary, and things were going so well. You decided this was the time to buy a new home or to make some new extension. And then all of a sudden, you lost the job, or they went out of business, and you now found yourself in the eye of a storm. I've met people who went to the doctor for their annual physical. As far as they were concerned, they were in perfect health. They were the picture of health. And so they went with not a worry, not a care. But when they left the doctor's office that day, they found themselves in the eye of a storm because the diagnosis they received was very negative. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody like that. You have a personal storm. It could be a financial storm. It could be a health-related storm. It could be because your marriage is in trouble. It could be because your children, listen, your kids are acting up. It doesn't matter what type of storm you're dealing with. I want you to know that this morning, God has a message of hope for your hurting heart. Storms often arise very suddenly. But secondly, storms often bring great anxiety and fear. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm reading verses 15 and 16. And of course, you heard verse 15 already, that the servant of the man of God arose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those against us." You know, as we face back-to-back storms in our country, many are feeling overwhelmed. I heard one lady praying and she said, "Oh God, we're going through so much right now. I don't think we can take anything more." Perhaps that's how you feel. You're feeling overwhelmed because in addition to these national storms, some of you are dealing with personal storms and you feel like you're at breaking point. Storms bring great anxiety and fear. And I tell you, one of the brothers, that he was telling us that he went to work. He works at the hospital. And even before the second storm, he had to talk somebody off the ledge because the man was determined to kill himself because of the anxiety he was facing because of the COVID-19 situation. And it seems like life was hopeless. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody this morning and you are so anxious, you're so scared, you're so worried. Everything seems so hopeless. I want you to know there is hope in Jesus Christ, and God is able to give you hope for your hurting heart. But put yourself in the shoes of Elisha's servant. He was surrounded by the Syrian army, and he knew they were not there for tea. He was so scared, he ran to Elisha and shouted in panic, "Master, what shall we do?" What a powerful question. It's a question that's often overlooked. But I want to suggest to you this morning that the first thing we should do when we face a storm is to ask God, "Master, what shall I do?" You know, today there are many voices telling us what to do. As you turn on the news, you're hearing voices telling us what to do. But I want to suggest to you, my Christian friend, before you do anything, before you follow any of those voices, make sure you hear from God. Amen? We need to stop. You need to stop and ask God, "Master, what shall I do in the eye of this storm? Shall I follow what the Republicans say, what the Democrats say, what the liberals say? Should I follow the Black Lives Matter group?" Oh, some of these, there's a virtue in what everybody is saying. But my Christian friend, before you jump on anybody's bandwagon, make sure you ask God, "Master, what shall I do?"
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So this morning, I want to share with you three things from our text, because there are three things that I believe that God is saying to us from this text about how, what we should do. And my friend, in the specifics of your life, the Spirit of God is going to help you to make some individual decisions. But there are three principles, write it down, three biblical responses to life's storms. And I want you to make sure you make a note of these three biblical responses to life's storms that are right here in this text. The first biblical response: we must confidently rest in God's protection. When all hell seems to be breaking loose, we must learn to confidently rest in God's protection. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, so Elisha said, "Do not fear, those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, listen to me good, probably you're not familiar with this passage of scripture. "Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire." Did you see that? All around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down, Elisha prayed for the Lord. Let me pause there for a second. You know, when Elisha said to the servant, "Those who are with us are more than with them," I can just imagine his servant must have been saying, "The old man is losing it." The servant had looked out, and all he saw was a ring of Syrian troops surrounding them. And Elisha is saying, "Those who are with us are more than with them." He said, "The old guy is losing it." But Elisha knew exactly what he was saying. You know, my friend, racism has caused many of us to be afraid. I've been pulled over by police because I was driving through a neighborhood where there was a robbery, and since I was a black man, I was the automatic suspect. My boys used to be harassed driving in our neighborhood because the police felt they didn't belong there, but somehow they missed the fact that they actually lived there, so they would follow them home to make sure that they really did have a key. They were even stopped on suspicion of driving a stolen Mercedes. Of course, some of you know it was my Mercedes, but the police assumed that as a black man, what is he doing driving this particular car? Let me say to you, young men, I want to speak to the young people for a moment, and even to those who are not so young, because I believe one of the greatest evils of racism is what it does to the motivation of many young people. And you see, this, I don't usually say much on these subjects, but I'm going to share one or two personal little experiences with you this morning, because you know, one of the reasons why we're so discouraged sometimes is because we think that it doesn't really make sense. What's the use of working hard? You know, so I have advanced degrees, I have tons of designations behind my name, but you know, when my eldest son went to school, as far as they were concerned, he was a nigger, and so they made sure to let him know you were a nigger. They made sure to let him know that his father was a drug dealer and that the only reason we were in the neighborhood because I was a Jamaican drug dealer. And so anytime I would drop him at school in my Mercedes or BMW, they really gave it to him about his drug dealing dad and his being a nigger. And so, as a result, there are a lot of young people who are saying, "Brian, it doesn't really make sense. What is the use of my making the effort? What is the use of my dedicating myself to study and success and achievement? Because at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. At the end of the day, I'm still just a nigger." Well, I hope somebody listening to me this morning, and you might be some from some other race, I hope you realize how difficult it must be. You may be a Caucasian. How would you feel if you have worked hard and your child, the only thing that he's told is that his dad is a drug dealer? My friends, some of these things are very demotivating, and I hope all of us are becoming aware of how difficult it is to be black in this country. But I want to speak to those young men. It does matter. Because my friend, if you don't make the effort and prepare yourself, you are going to miss God's elevation. Because I want you to hear me very well. The only person that can prevent you from achieving God's plan for your life is you. Well, I hope you heard me this morning. The only person that can prevent you from experiencing God's plan for your life is you. Oh, yes, I know racism makes it difficult, and it means that, hey, you may have to push a little harder, but I'm here to tell you that the God that I serve, he can open some doors that no man can close. And next week, I'm going to share one or two illustrations with you about some doors that God opened despite the fact of what they might have thought I was. But God opened some doors for me. The God who opened these doors, he can open them for you. And so I want to encourage you, young man, you're slacking off in school. You better get busy, boy. You dropped out of school, and you're floundering around. You're in your 20s and you're floundering. It is time to get serious and recognize that, listen, God's a plan for you. The only person that you can prevent you from achieving God's plan is you. Because God, my God, is an awesome God. Amen. But listen, another one of the challenges and one of the evils of racism is the fear that it puts in our hearts. And so I know that some of you young men worry that you're going to get killed in the streets. I have met parents and they tell me, Brian, I worry that my son won't come home alive. I'll be honest, I have never worried that my children would not come home alive. I was a little more anxious about my daughter when she was working on her food truck, but it wasn't because of racism. But listen, here is what I want you to do today. I want to give you a verse to hold on to. And I'm going to put it on the screen. And it's in Psalm 34, verse number 7. And here's what the Bible tells us. Young men, are you listening to me? Psalm 34, 7. Here's what it says. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Amen. Isn't that a precious verse? I wish I had a church who could help me out this morning. Repeat this verse after me. Everybody in here is going to repeat it. And even those of you at home this morning, I want you, as we put this verse on the screen at your home, you need to repeat this verse, because this verse needs to sink into your cranium. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Somebody ought to say hallelujah, amen. The angel of the Lord encamps around us. Mark that verse in your Bible and hold on to it. Listen, young people, angels are real. And listen, the God who surrounded Elisha with horses and chariots of fire can do the same for you. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say hallelujah. God, the same God, can surround you. And so we must confidently rest in God's protection. You say, Pastor, you're just making up stories. This is fairy tale. Listen. About 13 years ago, I was headed for the Taconi-Palmyra Bridge, and I had to cut through a section of Philadelphia that's known to be unfriendly to people who look like me. And you know, I was on the straightaway. There was no stop signs on my way. It was straight sailing, but the side street had stop signs. And as I was moving along, one young man, a Caucasian young fellow, he decided he was not going to pay any attention to his stop sign, and he just came flying through the side street and crashed into me on my side door. Can you imagine? He crashed right into my door. It was a major impact. It cost almost $40,000 to fix the car, believe it or not. I'm sure the insurance company wished that they had written the car off and just give me a check. It cost them almost $40,000, a little more, to fix the car. But the first way God delivered me, I was totally unharmed. I got out of the car and walked. But apparently the young man had communicated with his friends. And as I stood at the corner, with all this smoke, one, and I was wondering, what in the world is it going to explode? As I stood there, I was immediately surrounded by himself and all these other Caucasian young men. And although he was clearly in the wrong, he was confronting me, he was enraged, and it was evident that something was going to go down. And I'll be honest, I ain't no fighter. The only time I, at school, the only time I tried fooling with this boy, and the next thing the boy gave me a right hand, I was down for the count. I ain't no fighter. So if God is going to protect me, he's not going to protect me because I'm a fighter. But God, the God who caused these chariots to be in that hill, the God sent somebody to help me that morning. An elderly Caucasian lady even down the road, she did not have to pass our way. She was about to leave her home to go to the supermarket. She did not have to come my way because it was one way in the other direction. And as she was going into her car, God made her turn in my direction, and she saw all was happening up the street at the corner. And she decided, I'm going to be God's angel. God sent her, hallelujah. And so she came up. I can see her now. What can this older lady do against so many young boys? But as she approached me, she came with a twinkle in her eye, and she said to me, looks like you need a friend. And she said, I am going to stand right in front of you, and you don't move. You stand with your back to your car. I'm going to stand right in front of you. And anybody who touches you must touch me first. She said, I've been here so long, I don't think nobody's going to trouble me. But if they do, they got to hit me first. So you just stand behind me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.